The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Share Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
You have listened to us over 500,000 times. American Muslim 360.
That's interesting.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit, too legit to quit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listening audience. Martha Naila, and welcome to Pioneer Power Hour. Ah, yes, and we're going to be doing a replay of, I thought about doing it tomorrow night on community developmental stages, but you know what? To prepare our minds for community developmental stages, and since we played part one of a from the waist up, I was debating with myself whether to play it tonight or tomorrow night. And you be the judge of that. Press one if you want to hear of Imam Kazem Ahmed's presentation on the female solution discussing polygyny from the waist up. Now, I'm also working on the interviews of the hosts of American Muslim 360 as a pioneering process, and tonight, and as each night, we begin with the Quran. So I come to you now to ask your opinion with they should do. Let's go to 3-1. Assalamu alaikum, Mark Shaheed.
Alaikum assalam to you, Martha Naila Abdullah. and to the AM 360 family, our listeners, you know, you're breaking up pretty bad there, Martha Nyla. We can only hear part of your words and everything. However, I did get your question. Just want to say that today I put it in the announcements here in St. Louis to the Jamaat of Al-Mu'minun that the community developmental stages will be playing part one of the interview with Imam Kazem Ahmed. So I know there will be members that will be listening in tomorrow, you know, for that. And of course, it was also announced on AM 360 that that's what would be done in that regard. So
all right.
My vote, obviously.
That answers it for me.
Oh, alhamdulillah. I just wanted to state that. So, you know, you already got a plug in on AM 360. People will be looking for that for the in lieu of the CWSC roundtable. And also here in St. Louis, there'll be some that'll be tuned in, dialed in tomorrow for part one of Polygyny from the Waist Up.
All right. Sounds like a plan. No, I'll stick to the plan, the original plan. Praise be to Almighty God. Thank you. Thank
yes,
you for
ma'am.
Your support there.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right. And we go to Quran, everyone. And I will do a preview of the interviews with Imam Nazim Pasha, Imam Kareem Hamid, Imam Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin, and Michael Hamid. How about that? I have four interviews I've done, and then this week, inshallah, what we will do, what my intention is to do it like in a 12-minute segment of their interviews on the social, our social arena, the wombs of development, referencing the wombs of development, and getting to know the real you is a pleasure. You know, there's so much, and it's not just to know, not to just get to know someone, but history is history. And how many times we read about the pioneering process of individuals that help establish many countries, help establish communities, and the reasoning behind naming communities certain names. And for example, I live here. My mother lives here, and we grew up in the neighborhood, and all the neighbors here in the neighborhood are from what was named Carver Homes. Carver Homes. Mr. Carver developed the subdivision, and everyone living up there were transplanted to another neighborhood. But the name of the neighborhood now is Canal Point. So, you know, history, if anyone, now there are some new neighbors who didn't live in Carver Homes. They come and they purchase land, had their homes built, but they have no reference about Carver Homes. So how will they ever know that the people here have, and the familiarity of the neighbors and the getting along with each other and going and doing things for the elderly, the individuals now who are elders, and the young people are very befriending to the elders. That's just how Carver Homes was made up. Now, there are other subdivisions, Friendly Park, Liberty Park, Sanders Park. You get all around there. They're just small subdivisions. And I don't think, I can tell you pretty much, I can almost say that the other parks that I just named didn't, maybe Friendly Park did, but the others didn't have as much familiarity of the neighbors being inclined to check on one another as we did in Carver Homes. And perhaps it was the way that the houses were situated, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, all right? As we've been speaking about population on community developmental stages, but we want to speak more about it here, getting to know the real you. And so let's go to Quran. And at first I was wandering through, you know, it's a
anything that we read from Quran is going to speak to a concern or a thought that perhaps we have on our mind. And so we're never at a loss for what we read and whether it contains what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we would like to know and have, an explanation. I'll just say it that way, an explanation for. So we're going to go to Suratul Zumar. That's the crowd. Suratul Zumar. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Tanzilul kitabi minallahil azizil hakim. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ فَاعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ أَلَّا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ خَاصٌّ سبحان الله أَلَّا لِلَّهِ دين خالص والذين أما خدوا من دوني أولياء ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفى إن الله يحكم بينهم فيما هم فيه يختلفون إن الله لا يهدي من هو كاذب كفار صدق الله العظيم. And we'll stop right there. We'll stop right there, and there's more to be shared, but we'll stop right there. And that is through 3. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Now, we say the crowds, and some interpret it as the troops, all right, as the troops. But the lettering is Zay Mim Ra. Zay Dama Mim Fata and Ra Zumar. Well, let's continue on. I won't go into any of it. I won't sidetrack myself here. But with Allah's name, seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. And this is Sahih International. We can go to Yusuf Ali as well. And the surah is the 39th surah of Quran. I apologize, let's take a moment here as I go to the other interpretation. Yusuf Ali, Fitu Allah. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. The revelation of this book is from Allah, the exalted in power, full of wisdom. Verily, it is we who have revealed the book to you in truth. So serve Allah, offering him sincere devotion. Is it not to Allah that sincere devotion is due, but those who take for protectors other than Allah say, we only serve them in order that they may bring us nearer to Allah. Truly Allah will judge between them in that wherein they differ, but Allah guides not such as are false and ungrateful. Surely Allah speaks the truth. It says ungrateful, and the word kafaru. So not just disbelieving. I'm saying that I'm pointing out this word because it has the that emphatic diacritical, the marking of the shadda on above the fa, and the fa attached to the fa is the alif. And it's not just close the door, it's not shut the door, it's he slammed the door. So in this sense, it's not just disbelieving, but disbelieving and being ungrateful. And this doesn't happen just overnight. This builds up over a period of time. So how does this connect with pioneering? And I'm starting at the very end of this, correct? How does this connect with pioneering? When we look at the pioneering process of the human being and its life and the environment for the human being and how the human being lives and takes on seeking to do what is needed for the human being to live, to exist, and then to live, and then to really care for one another and continue to live. Well, all the signs around, all the knowledge around the human being takes the human being into a pioneering process, because we don't know what it, we don't know when we cut down a tree. We don't know all the We didn't know all the things that could be built from a tree. When we, when the sand became heated, or the minerals in the sand, we didn't know all the minerals that were there. So there's a pioneering process in every step of the way, and there are still pioneering processes that are happening, unfolding to the human intellect, to the human being every day. But when we connect with it, we find ourselves turning to those things, and those things become, we show our gratitude to the things and not to the creator of the things. So the pioneering process is, I believe, is going to constantly be that we have to turn to and recognize the creator as being the giver, the maker, the creator, the owner, and the one due all respect, all humility from the human being in respect to the creation of the human being and the creation outside of the human being, that everything that we use and we find a benefit in, that we must show our gratitude to the creator of it. So now let me step into another way of sharing the pioneering process. How many of us have found that our families, our loved ones, from our perspective, are in a disbelieving situation? You know, how many of us right away, when we compare, and it is a comparison, when we compare ourselves, those who say, quote unquote, I'm Muslim, or quote unquote, I'm Christian, or quote unquote, I'm Baha'i, or I'm whatever the label we've accepted and identifying with the rituals of it, we look outside of ourselves at everyone else, and everyone else then becomes a disbeliever. Muslims not think that the Mormons think, perhaps, that the Muslims are disbelievers? And do Christians not think that the Muslims are disbelievers and vice versa? Do the category of Muslim within the Shia, do the Shia think that the category of other Muslim are led, have been led into disbelief and vice versa? Pioneering effect in this will be to not look at the label and deliver the message as clear as the message should be delivered and leave it there. Whether it's a Christian delivering the message, whether it's a Baha'i, whether it's Muslim, whether it's the different areas of being Muslim, when we come to the area of one, that God is one, and that God had no son, no daughters, I mean, it's there for all of us to see. But the pioneering process is in our taking on and adapting to standing for what is truly the message. Let's talk about that. Let's see if you have any comments you'd like to share in that way, because I know I'm well aware that we go through seasonal changes in our lives. There are seasonal situations that come about. And I know we have dear loved ones that we're, you know, family ties are very important. And we're not to sever family ties. So what is that saying? So we have to take on a pioneering angle or pioneering position, we, whoever the we are, whoever has the strength to do so, to understand the truth, the message. The message is that we're to believe that there are no other protectors besides the one who created everything. Press one on your phone and come into the conversation as we speak on our pioneering. And this is why we're having the interviews with the hosts here on American Muslim 360 and having them to share their social upbringing and their social connections as they evolved from one stage to another to where they are right now. And perhaps you can share that as well. You know, think about your space and time when you were being developed and as you were communing with family members and you had respect for those family members. But when knowledge came to you, did that change you from your family members? Are you strong enough to take a stand and say to yourself first that you do not have to sever the ties, but that you still bring out of you the message without just verbalizing it, but living it? Let's go to our callers, and we'll go to 860-938. One moment. There we are. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, sister. This is Sister El calling from the Tri-State area. Nice.
Welcome.
You have one. Welcome. Well, Juma Mubarak.
What? Juma Mubarak. Yes.
Go ahead. What you want to say? Because I was about to say something. Go ahead. What you want to say?
No. I'm expecting your comments.
Oh, my comment is this. Yes, I'm strong enough to stand up against my family, and I'm standing up against my family because I come from a large family of bishops and pastors and reverends, and my uncles pretty much respect what I'm doing. My aunts do too. But then I have a few cousins who want me to convert back to Christianity. I've been raised in different phases of religions because I had lived with different members of my family who are of different faiths. And I had decided that I would become a Muslim 11 years ago, and it has been a struggle. I had some situations where I had a child in the hospital on his deathbed, so I had to move closer to where he was, and I stayed with my relatives, and they Christians, and they wanted to teach my children Christianity, my three younger ones who are with me, and I said no, so I had to take a stand, and situational, you know, I had to leave there, you know, staying near the hospital to be near my son and staying at their home so I don't travel so far and, you know, don't have so much stress on my children with school and so forth and, you know. So anyway, yeah, I took a stand with my relatives. You know, I have nothing against my children learning about Christianity and other faiths, but the practice that they're going to practice and what they do practice is Islam because I'm a Muslima. And I'm their mother, and this is what I, this is my religion and my home, so this is what they must learn. And there's challenges with your relatives, and especially at this time of the year, because they, you know, the Christmas is coming up, and they want my children to come to their homes, and my answer is no. I'll come visit them after Christmas, but I will not visit them on Christmas, because my children are not Christians, and I don't want my children to get confused at the way that they're being raised. And people say to me and my family, well, the way you're raising them, they're not going to be confused. They're going to know, they're going to know what I'm teaching them, and that's it. And I'm not going to argue with people about it. I still love them, and like I said, we'll see each other after Christmas. I'll come time with you near New Year's. But we're not opening Christmas presents and sitting under a tree because that's not what my religion says I must do. So, yes, you have to take a stand with your family. You don't have to be rude to them. You just have to stand your ground. And that sometimes you ostracize, you know, and not just your family. I found out being in this religion, I have been ostracized by my own Muslim community and different Muslim communities. I've been ostracized by sisters and brothers. Because I had to take a stand for what I believe and that's right. If I notice that you're practicing wrong or it's in a disagreement of what I've been taught, then I'm not participating in certain activities and events, and I'm going to take a stand and not be involved. Now, I'm not going to criticize what you're doing. You do what is best for you. You do you. But do not try to influence or manipulate me to changing what I believe in. See, I worship Almighty Allah 24 hours a day, no matter whether I do wrong or right. He stays in my heart. This heart that's beating is beating because of him. And there's no man on this earth or no woman on this earth that's going to take his place in my heart. So by my heart just beating, and I know it's beating, my blood flowing through my veins, and my brain is receiving blood and stimulated and can, the thought process is going on, and my lungs is inhaling and exhaling, and my diaphragm is moving, and my liver functioning, my kidneys and so forth, then, you know, I have to praise him, and I have to give thanks to him. And it's not at the five prayers a day, because I make more than five prayers a day on my Mustafa. You know, you have to just thank him, period. You know, if you believe in him, you know, every breath that you take, believe in him. The breath goes out. You exhale. You inhale. That's Allah. Who's pulling those strings? You're not. You know, the world wants you to believe that you're responsible for certain things that's going on with your body. And you, no, you're not. Certain things you're not responsible for because you can't make yourself breathe. You know, that's not possible, a human being. So when you think about it, no, you don't. The majority of the time, you don't even realize you're breathing. You're just breathing, and you're just functioning. And your mind have other things on your mind. So you have to, you know, you got to put everything in a perspective. And as far as my perspective is, Allah is number one. Allah is first and always will be in my life. And although I had a tough time, in these 11 years of staying in my deen and staying on my deen because confused. I had people in high positions who were supposed to be teaching me. They were teaching me wrong. And I had to reach out to other masjids until I found the masters that I felt that were where I was comfortable at, where I felt that I was learning my religion and where I was learning the proper way to deem. So it is a challenge, and you must stay on your, you know, have a take a stand. And I have gotten criticized by the way that the hijab that I like to wear, but they don't understand the hijab that I wear. It's not copying people from other countries. First of all, it's a discipline for me. You know, it's a discipline, and people need to realize to become a Muslima, when you look at a sister that converted into becoming a Muslima, you best believe she went through something. Now, I'm not trying to negate the fact that people who are born into this religion, I'm not saying that we're stronger than them or anything like that. I want people to get the wrong connotation or the wrong analogy or thought and belief that that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying for us, the ones who converted, it take a lot for a Muslima who was a Christian who didn't have to wear a hijab, and especially when it's summertime, and especially in this wintertime when you're wearing all these extra clothes, it takes a lot. And it's not even about the clothes. It's about everything that you had learned and you were taught from birth. And I like to say from the breastfed baby to the bottle-fed baby of your mom, from your mom, she nurturing you. And then you decide to become a Muslim. You sacrifice a lot, and you give up a lot. So for me, I must have this type of hijab on because it helps me with my discipline, you know, and that's just Sister L. And there are times where I change it, you know, but that's according to how Sister L feels. And I get criticized for that. They say, why are you dressed? You trying to dress like? I'm not trying to dress like anyone. I don't look for other people to be like. I know who I am. I love me. I accept me. I respect me. And I love me. So I don't need, and it's not vanity. It's not vanity because I'm not vain. You know, I know when I go in the dirt, that's it. We here in the dunya, and when I return to the earth, I'm going in dirt. And everything around me is going to stay here. So I'm not vain. I don't care about the cars, the houses, material things. I don't care about that because I was born naked, and they put a blanket on me, which you could say a sheet. And when I leave this earth, I'm going to be naked in a sheet again. And I'm going back in the dirt. And my spirit is going to be with my God, who is Allah Almighty. So, you know, you have those challenges. Yes, sister, you have a really good topic tonight because there's a lot of challenges. And, yes, you do still love your family. I love my family. I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for my family. And all the transitions that they took me through with all the religions, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have found Islam. And if Allah wasn't by my side, I wouldn't be a Muslima, you know. And, you know, I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the people who helped me find my way and keep me on track of my deen because I was lost. I was lost. I had looked at some people in powerful positions, and I thought they were going to teach me. They wasn't teaching me what I needed to know. They were teaching me Islam, and I don't want to know Islam. I need to know Islam. I need to know my religion. I need to know who I'm supposed to be and who what God I'm serving and make sure I am obedient to Allah and to Allah only, not to a man, not committed to a man and not committed to a woman. I am committed to my deen, and that's what I strive on. And I'm not perfect, no, 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 because I'm a human being. I can't be perfect.
Let's take a pause right there. Sister L, we can continue with you. Let's take a pause and identify the station here. We're listening to Pioneer Power Hour. One of our callers, Sister L, from the Tri-State area. And this is Pioneer Power Hour. Your host, Martha Naila Abdullah, here on American Muslim 360 broadcast, the most listened to Islamic station in the nation. And we can be heard 24 hours a day just by dialing 701-719-4197 or go to CWSC and you'll see American Muslim 360 broadcast there, or just type in am360.org. Again, 24 hours a day, streaming, podcast, and live. And now we'll go back to our
caller here, Sister L. As we're sharing, we're asking the question, and included in my question, and respecting the comments of whoever, you know, choose to make their comments here, just know we're open to hear what you have to share. But in my comments, I was sharing also, you know how the labels are there, but when we check in the history back to the message, as Almighty God revealed the message to the messengers, and somehow labels got put on situations and conditions and people's practices, and then we began to see the labels and see that we were, that we differed. But does the message differ, and do we need the labels to actually practice and take a stand that way to practice what we see as the real message, the unifying message? And since there are a whole one moment, we're going to bring in 334-419. I think this is Brother Michael Hameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for this program and these subjects. I love this particular topic because it brings to me, to my thinking and to my heart, how much Imam Wasfi Muhammad means, not only to me but to the world, because he in his digesting the Quranic logic and the instructing signs in the Quran and in the creation of God, he talked about how God gives us, the Creator gives us a social challenge, these differences in religion, not just in religion, but in our tongues, in our expressions, in our sensitivities. You know, my wife just got on me about, you know, some people are cleaner than other people. And they have a greater sensitivity for cleanliness than some other folks do, and for order, you know. So these things challenge us, you know. The foolish challenge the wise, and the wise challenge the foolish. But it's all about us growing, and our religion calls us to see that it's not in the words of devotion or worship, but it's in the transaction. It's in the interaction. It's in the relationship. And that's where we find our religion, I mean personally, as well as other people's religious expression. It's not in what they say, it's what they do. And the old folks used to say, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. I just wanted to share that.
Yes, yes, I remember that saying too. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Michael, for sharing your thoughts here on the Pioneer Power Hour. And Sister L, we'll go back to you. I'm sure you want to share something else. Brother Michael, I'll take you out to you there.
Assalamu alaikum, brother, and I respect what he said, and what he said is so true. You know, but back to what you were saying about the titles, it depends on what titles you're talking about, because, you know, we have to have certain titles in Islam to understand, and we need certain titles to be able to know what level of expectation that Allah has placed in their life, and how much knowledge and wisdom do they have in situational things for us. You know, can they, you know, deal with...
Give an example. Give an example to us, if you don't mind. You say the situation...
Okay, like an imam. Say, for instance, imam. Oh, boy, here we go again. Let's put it on the imam. Well, imam, you asked for it, okay? You wanted to become an imam, so you are expected to uphold that title as Allah has, you know, as you have ordained yourself to be connected with Allah. So if it's a situation like somebody want a divorce, or there's a janaza, or somebody needs to speak to someone about things that's going on in their mind, maybe they're depressed or, you know, whatever, and you're an imam, you're supposed to be properly trained because you have that title. But if you just can't walk around flaunting a title, I'm the Amen. I'm the Amen. Yeah, so I'm big in Islam. But you don't have no knowledge. You don't have no background. You can't help people. Do you know how to talk to people? What is your attitude? What is your behavior? And the first thing I want to know, are you deeming, and are you deeming properly? That title is
okay.
One of the things that puts you in either a title or a status situation.
Okay, so that I can be clear in sharing what I was referring to was the labels of the religion, the religion, such as when I came to know the different labels, I should say rather than titles, labels of the the individuals that practice, and you know, I'm struggling with this because I'm wanting to share that as we evolved from centuries ago on believing in God, and first, you know, with the understanding who is God and who's not, what's God and what's not, and that, and then the labels being attached to it, and then we come on through years and years later. And then we see these labels of saying Christianity, Judaism, and, you know, and just stopping short of saying Islam rather than Al-Islam. And so when we hear the labels, right away we have a preconceived idea, and we're looking at the people and the traditions rather than truly looking at the message. Now, that's Martha Nyla speaking on that. Continue on, Sadale.
Well, to me, you know, I don't want to disrespect you on public air. That's your view, and that's how you feel. But as when I came into Islam and they explained to me how many sects in Islam, you know, I respect the different sects in Islam. And when I say sects, like the Shia, you know, and then Sunni and all different names, and as you say, you want to call them labels. But, you know, the only thing that, in our religion, as when you say you're a Muslim, you have to ask yourself, am I a Muslim or am I a believer? It doesn't matter which sect you're practicing under. Are you a Muslim or are you a believer? And the only thing that you should be practicing is that Quran, you know, the way that Allah wants you to be practicing. You need to be putting your time and your interest in learning the Quran and learning about Allah and learn your hadith. You know, yes, in Islam we have different sects, just like in Christianity you have many different sects. But we all striving, no matter what religion that you are in, you should be striving for the oneness of God, your creator, whatever you want to call him. Because in Islam Allah has 99 names. So we can call Allah any one of the 99 names, and we're not out of our religion, we're not out of, you know, disrespecting our religion, we're not not practicing our deen. So, you know, with all of this, these religions and titles and sects and different sects of Islam, the main function of all of us as human beings is to decide, are you going to be a believer of God? Do you have faith? Do you have the commitment? Are you sincere? Are you true? So what book you're reading is your choice. But the God that you're serving should be the one God, in my opinion. But you can serve as many gods as you want to. It's choice. As a Muslim, you should be reading the Quran, living as the Quran, what the Quran tells us to do, and living by the hadith of al-Bukhari and all those before and the prophets. Peace and blessings be upon them, what they had left for us to practice this religion and deen in the proper manner.
Alhamdulillah.
I'm still here. Alhamdulillah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your views on here on American Muslim 360 broadcast. That's Sister L of the Tri-State area. And anyone wanting to share as well, please press 1 on your phone. We'll bring you into the conversation here, taking a stand or pioneering process of not severing ties, and can we look beyond the labels and see that the message being lived out,
the message, as we're all saying, the unifying message that says there's one God, there are no other protectors, no other givers of life. As I say, I went through the life forces within the human being, the physical anatomy, and then all of the practices. And as we evolve, and truly we are evolving, and I must say, I've gotten on a certain step, if I can say it that way, I've gotten on a certain ledge or a certain step in life that from this position where I am, praise be to Almighty God, is that when I sit and dine and have a conversation with another human being, and they are courteous, they're expressing their gratefulness for being alive, they're caring for their families, and perhaps they're attending some place of worship. And when in the conversation they express their belief in a power and they call it the supreme being, or they may reference it as the higher power, are we speaking about something different? And the pioneering process in this is truly respecting that Almighty God knows how we're referring or interpreting. But are we able, now I'm speaking to those who have evolved to another level, to see the Creator as definitely as not being physical? And then, as I think Brother Michael mentioned about digesting the Quran in a way, the logic is there. Don't have to put a label, that we truly can see the message being lived out. And that's the way I'm interpreting it as well. And I'm appreciating being at this point and looking on. So, Sister L, you have comments on that? And anyone else, please press 1 on your phone.
Assalamu alaikum, sister. You know, my mom always said, you know, it's a tough time. It's tough to discuss religion and politics with people because you'll get yourself in some trouble. And I try not to discuss religion with other people too much, with other than Muslims. Now, if somebody's not a Muslim, as what you're describing, and they wish to call them their God, supreme being, that's fine with me. But if a person is a Muslim and they are a believer, that's a different. A believer know not to call them, call Allah the supreme being. A Muslim that maybe, you know, maybe they new to this religion and just converted, we going to have this little talk. I'm going to spend some time with you because Allah has 99 names, as I say, and just to categorize him in that type of light, you know, I want to see where your mind is going. I want to know what happened to you and how you praying and, you know, what can I do to help you? And I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this deen, and I'm not saying the way that I practice is perfect, but we need to talk to each other and have a conversation and learn each other because I'm never going to call Allah my supreme being. I like to call Allah my almighty, and that's just who Sister L is, you know. And I don't mind calling I don't mind calling him 99 names, you know. But when it comes to somebody of a different faith, I like to respect their faith, you know. I don't like to trample over it. I don't like to bring my views on them because they're not of the same faith as me. And I don't want them to think I'm a hypocrite or I'm judging them or anything like that because I don't. I'm a Muslim. I'm proud Muslima. And whatever religion you want to be, I have many blessings from me to be whatever religion you are. And we could get along. It doesn't matter to me what religion you are. I'm not big on those labels. And it doesn't matter to me right. how you practice, you know. It matters to me how you respect me and I respect you and what type of relationship we have with each other.
Oh,
I'm going to be quiet.
So all right. All right. Blessed be. Blessed be. Thank you so much. And we go, Brother Michael has chimed back in. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Michael?
Alaikum assalam. Yeah, I'm enjoying listening to the expression of you and Sister L. And, you know, I go back to the idea of a social challenge. When we read the Quran from the first chapter or ayat, I'm sorry, surah, you know, we are sensitized. You know, we're given a name that is not mentioned among the 99 names of Allah. Allah gives us this name of Rab, and that's, you know, that leads us to, as we go into the Quran, to understand that whatever the best names are, you know, Allah gives us 99 for a reason, and Allah is the name that encompasses all of as the God. But the sensitivity process begins with that Al-Fatiha and the description. The first portion sensitizing us to Allah and his attributes, and we can see similarities in those attributes in ourselves, but not to the degree of the greatness of Allah. And that's why, you know, we say we're servants of Ar-Rahman, you know, we're Abdur-Rahman, we're Amatullah, we're Abdullah, you know, that we serve the God, Allah. And lastly, the test, Allah prepares us for the test within the instructing signs of the Quran, that there are things within us that will challenge us individually in terms of our faith, and we challenge one another in our socialization, you know, within the household, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, and mama and daddy, you know, we find we may have disagreements, but with, you know, if we're in a healthy household, we learn how to resolve disagreements. But you also have households that are not healthy. So Allah tells us about these challenges to us and finding balance in our living with other people, living amongst other people. And the need to meet that challenge, because the challenge of interacting with one another as human beings, you know, interacting with those that don't believe. They say, well, I don't believe in God. Okay, that's fine. Like Sister El says, well, you know, okay, you respect me, I respect you as a human being, and the fact that God gave you that choice. He has not imposed faith on any of his creatures. You know, he tells us there's no need. He doesn't need our worship. You know, the true description of the Creator in Scripture, in the Holy Quran in particular, is that Allah does not need our worship. He's created us to serve not him, because there's nothing that he has a need of from that which he has created, but there is a plan. There's a trajectory in terms of where he's taking the creation. It has an aim and a purpose. It wasn't created in folly or foolishness or play. The creation is going in a direction. And the human being, as being the crown, which described as the crown of creation, is going in a particular direction. And so the challenges of disbelief and hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another, covering up the truth, you know, being inside a religion, whether it be Islam, Christianity, also an awareness. And I got this. I'm going to close with this point. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his book, Message to the Black Man, he put in there a letter where he responded to someone challenging his teaching of Islam and using the fact that one of his followers, an individual that identified with the Nation of Islam, had gone crazy and murdered his wife. I believe that was what the issue was. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad writes back in response to this writer, you know, no religion is responsible for the crazy people that claim it. And I thought that was funny, but it was also wisdom in it, you know. There are people that come into Christianity, they come into Islam, other ways of life, and they have mental health issues for whatever reason. That's a challenge as well to those who, and a responsibility upon us that God puts on us, that we're responsible for those who have emotional and psychological issues. There's a responsibility of the same to those who are not sane, who are not stable. There's a responsibility incumbent upon us of the strong helping the weak. And all this is described in Scripture. So that letter that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote, it amused me, but it was also instructive to me, that people claim religion, and they do things, they do bad things in religion. You know, I love history, and I was thinking, as you were speaking earlier, you know, we've had the 100-year wars and the War of Roses. We've had a lot of wars based upon disagreements in religion and other issues, but religion, you know, is a very touchy subject, in my opinion, because the human soul, the spirit, our human spirituality is something that when we give ourselves to something spiritually, it's a very powerful force in our life and in the life of society. And there are people who are unscrupulous that know this, so they come into religion to manipulate the souls and the spirits of people. And the religion, the Quran, and the example of Prophet Muhammad, not the Hadith, because, you know, when I first started studying al-Islam, I found Hadiths that didn't make my soul comfortable because they weren't in line with the Quranic message. The spirit of the Quran, in terms of God's mercy, overriding his wrath, and other ideas of equity between men and women, I was reading things that didn't jive with what I was getting from the sacred Quran. So early on, I was told by Imam Muhammad, you know, you don't judge people. You don't judge a religion by the people. The standards of the religion in al-Islam are the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad. So when we look at people, not that we are judgmental, but when we look at people, we identify in their behavior where they are in terms of those standards. We don't judge the religion by their behavior. We judge their behavior by the standards of the religion. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Well, I thank you, and I thank Sister L for those words coming straight from our thinking, our intellect, as we have all benefited from the evolutionary process. And now, everyone, we pray that you join us next week, because we have to take this on out into the areas wherein we get the perspective of others to actually begin the conversation again, because this won't be the first time, but it's always a pioneering process when we begin to speak to those that are standing on the sideline and they're waiting for I don't know what. Just one moment. We're going to bring one more person in, 404-734, and then we will be exiting out. 404-734.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Martha Nyla, and to the AM360 family. This is Sister Amina from Decatur, Georgia. I'm talking on another phone.
Welcome.
Since my spare phone number. But, you know, I was on another call, and I missed what you all were talking about this evening. But the little that I did hear is how we interact with each other as believers, you know,
let me put a circle around it, because it's actually the pioneering process of seeing beyond the label, beyond the label of Christianity, the label of Islam and the label of Judaism and the label, but seeing the people. And Brother Michael was just responding to, and Sister L, both beautifully. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yes, I heard a little bit of what both of the callers said, and you know, I this is something that I've discussed with a lot of believers that I know. You know, we talk about this all the time, and I look at my situation of coming into this way of life so many years ago. You know, I've been a Muslim a long time, and all of our situations are different. You know, we all come in different ways. We all are on different levels. And we all don't have the same experiences. And yes, you know, we should look beyond the labels. And that's what our books tell us to do. If we study and if we actually apply what our books tell us. But the reality is, a lot of what goes on is that some people, a good amount of the people in these faiths, they don't model well what the books say, you know. So sometimes it gets to be how can I say, you know, of course Allah tell us, do you not think that you will be left alone and not be tested? And all these other references in our books, and I know there are some in the Bible and the Torah as well, because I've talked with some believers in those faiths over the years. I've been on job sites with people of the other faiths, and what I've seen is that I've had some bad experiences. If I went on what a lot of the Muslims, and Sister L is right, there's a difference between a Muslim and a mu'min, a believer. If I went on what a lot of what I have personally experienced, I would run away from Islam, because we sometimes, and I'm not trying to make a blanket statement, but I've seen a lot of it up close and personal. I've had close believers in the deen, in the community, Muslim in title, but their behavior, their adab was completely the opposite. And I'm talking about how we treat each other. We are judgmental a lot of times. We do not want for our brother and sister what we want for ourselves. We say we do. We say it, but it's not actually lived out in a lot of instances. And you know, a lot of the young adults and our youth, they are turned off by how we've done. Now, I look at a lot of what has happened with me has been negative in this community. I mean, I've had Muslims doing fraud on me. I'm talking about Muslim sisters, new did fraud, you know, imams calling you out because you speak up for domestic violence. That's the big one in our community. That's one of the biggest ones. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to admit that the problem is the way it is. We don't want to help the sisters. We leave sisters stranded. There's sisters all over this country now and in our community, because I know of some homeless because of domestic violence. Nobody cares. Nobody says, well, we need to try and do something about this. They know the situation, but it's, I mean, there's a brother here, Bilal Stroud. He speaks up. He has the group, Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence. He gets so much opposition for speaking up about doing something about the issue of sisters being abused by Muslim men. Nobody seems to think it's a problem. And it's been going on for years. It's been going on for years here.
Yes.
All of that is like, well, just don't talk about it. Be quiet. Leave it alone. Don't say anything. All of that is something that we need to address what Quran says about it. It's a lot. So it's like, you know, sometimes you just look at, okay, the Quran says this, but people do what they want. And nobody
exactly.
It's just like, whatever, you know, don't talk about
but
it. Be quiet. Don't say anything.
If I may, and appreciating that particular, because that is everything you're sharing is true. And what we're wanting, we know that there are the attributes of the misbehaving, misbelieving demeanors. And because there is, we're asking the question about the labels. Do we see the unified message? And are we pioneering enough to stand for the message? Are we ourselves pioneering enough?
Is my point. That's what I'm saying for, because it's just a few people that try to pretend, but then they get targeted for speaking up and speaking truth to power. You know,
Let me share it in this way. What I'm asking, because as Sister L directly said, I'm going to. In other words, Sister L, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but as she's saying, listen, I'm going to live it. Whether someone doesn't like the way she dressed or doesn't like the way she shares, Brother Michael
was
sharing.
That's the other thing I was
going
to get to.
We got
income inequality too. The certain ones that have their finances together, or they look down on others. You know,
I'm working on here, and everyone, thank you for your patience because it is 8:09 now. But I want to. And Sister Amina, I'm not trying to drive you off your point, but I'm wanting to share from the pioneering power. The pioneering power itself taking on the pioneering power and not being affected to the point of walking away or stepping away or clouding our thinking with what others aren't doing. And are
some
we,
are.
Because,
that's
no,
my point. Some
no,
people
but,
are.
No, no, but I'm speaking about self. Martha Nyla is willing. I will take the stand and not look at the labels, but see the message where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala shows it.
Well,
many
Amina
other
has
persons.
Done it.
That,
I've done it. If you're talking about myself,
that's
I've
where
done
we
it.
Want,
well,
we want to go
here. But what I'm saying is that. Sometimes you just get tired. I'm just going to say it. You just get tired of the foolishness. It's so much fitna that goes on, and people just excuse it. That's the point.
All
in
right.
other words, it's like,
all
oh,
right.
well. So, you know, that's what I'm getting to. And I know we're about to leave, so I'm going to hang up. But I just had to say that because, you know,
all right.
Sister Amina is not giving up, right? Sister Amina is pioneering. Am I correct?
I'm just putting it on hold because I'm just tired of, you know, I'm always not now, no. I'm not.
We're gonna hold tight to you, inshallah, and pray that you don't, you know, don't let it drop. Don't drop it. Please don't drop it because the fight is worth it.
Well, the thing is, that's what I'm saying. In other words, I've been fighting a long time. I know others that have, and they've said that, you know, yes, but you know. A lot of times when you're faced with it so much for so long, you just want to get away from the people. Just forget it. Because what's the point? In other words, let them stay in their fitna and you go, you know, just get closer to Allah yourself. Just get away from them because they're, you know, I'm not going to let them break my spirit. I'm just saying. So I get away from them. That's the position I'm taking. I'm sick of, you know, what I've seen over the years and now. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and it's breaking a lot of our young people's spirit. This is one reason why they just don't even come to the masjid. And I know I've had young people and young adults say that. You know, mommy and daddy, they tell us this, or the imams tell us that, but at home, they doing, or away from the masjid, they doing just the opposite. How are they going to tell me? So that's what I'm saying. In other words, we are discouraging by our behavior, our adab, as a community. And I'm not saying that it's everybody, but it's a large number of people in these masjids.
Well, okay, we're gonna have to let that be
We need to look. We really need to take a look in the mirror because this is some ugly stuff going on. That's all I'm gonna say. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for your sharing, and that's why this is pioneering power, pioneer power hour. And truly, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala will give us what we need because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam surely proved that we can take a stand and Allah will guide us and protect us and help us through it. Even when, you know, the surah on, and I'm trying to think of the name of Nasr, Surah Nasr. Is that it? Or when will come the help? When comes the help of Allah? Yes, when comes the help. But, and then other instances when the Prophet cried. You know, being at that point of what you're speaking of breaking, darkest hour, still we must stay strong. Not that we have to contend and continue to go along with those who are just as the last word in the surah read tonight, Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, and in the third ayah, speaking to the kafirun, but is speaking more to the being ungrateful, not just disbelieving, taking it to another height, and that ungratefulness, then, as I say, we can't make anyone, we can't push anyone, but we certainly can take ourselves to wherever we are to be. So, inshallah, thank you so much, Sister Amina. Thank you, Brother Michael, and thank you, Sister L, and everyone else who's been listening tonight to Pioneer Power Hour, and we will play this public service announcement as our next presentation for tomorrow morning. This is American Muslim 360 broadcast, and I am Marsa Naila Abdullah here on Pioneer Power Hour. And as I'm working to get Sherry, well, this is on tomorrow morning study group with Imam Kareem Hamid. That will be the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m.
And I'm just starting to listen, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me. I shook up the world. Sorry, I'm the king of the world.
Hold it. You're not that great.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I shook up the world.
inshallah. All right. And that was on Share Your Jummah. But study group tomorrow morning, where we listen to the lecture of Imam Waris Adeem Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, and then we share. We have pen and paper, and then we share. And the purpose of it is that we grow as we share from our own thinking and from what we've learned, we've studied, and inshallah, to make a difference in order to remake the world, remaking our world of thought and sharing it with others, inshallah. Thank you again, dear listening audience, and do go to cwsc.us or am360.org and continue to listen throughout the night. You may be surprised if you hear a live voice at 2 a.m. Test it to see who that may be. Assalamu alaikum.